السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, for His protection, for His mercy, and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful ones both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Qur'an, we always speak of success and a reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, He says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. That the successful one is that who is saved from the hellfire and entered into paradise. That is the criterion of success with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success is not getting a better job. Success is not getting yourself into an Ivy League school. Success is not buying a bigger house. Success is not having a lot of children. Rather, success is saving yourselves from the hellfire and making sure that we are entered into paradise. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, that can only be done with the fadl and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as human beings, it becomes our obligation and our duty to make sure that we strive to work in that direction, that we protect ourselves and our family members from the hellfire and enter ourselves into paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that easy for all of us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. As I began, I recited an ayah of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing certain individuals. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ, Allah says. And amongst them, there is an individual who says, or there are individuals who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. O our Lord, grant us good in this dunya. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And good in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Again, the same thing we were mentioning success a few moments ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And O Allah, O our Lord, protect us from the fire. O our Lord, protect us from the fire. Because obviously the fire of hell is a very great punishment and one which is very difficult to withstand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us all the time that when we do ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And as the mufassireen and the scholars have mentioned, that this dua is the ra'is, the king of all the du'as that are mentioned in the Qur'an. This is the best dua that is mentioned in the entire Qur'an. Because we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the good in the world, and for all the good in the hereafter, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the hellfire. So everything that one can ask for, we're asking within this one dua. But technically speaking, this dua is mentioned in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat fa man farada fihinna al-hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on for a few ayahs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Hajj. As we find ourselves in a state, in our own community where we live within our families, we find many kinds of individuals. We find individuals who are striving to go for Hajj, and they're working towards that. We find individuals who have already performed their Hajj. And then we find individuals who have not even thought in that direction because of whatever circumstance they may be in. Keep in mind that every condition that a person is in comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every condition is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already blessed us, that we have already performed our Hajj, then we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that is an obligation that we have fulfilled. We have definitely become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have experienced something very grand that no words can ever describe. No words, you can read the many books that are written on Hajj, books cannot describe Hajj. In this day and age, we can watch a DVD or a video or a documentary on Hajj. A person who has performed the Hajj will still tell you that there is no way that this documentary, although it's in picture, does any justice to actually performing the Hajj. That experience in itself is an experience which is different altogether and which is not describable. And people have definitely tried to describe it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, because every time we either hear about the Hajj, we may see a book, we may read a book, we may see pictures, an individual becomes encouraged to go for Hajj. It's an encouragement for individuals to go for Hajj. And then we have individuals who are planning to go for Hajj. As we speak right now, we find we are in the community, we are at a stage. Jazakallah khair, sisters, for being quiet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. We find in our community right now, we are in a stage where those individuals who have made their intentions to go for Hajj have now sent in their checks, their passports, and now are waiting for their visas to come through. Keep in mind, as difficult as it is for me to say this, that we are dealing with authorities that we are not very used to. Right? We're not very used to. Because we've lived in the West, we've spent most of our lives here, we are so used to everything being so systematic. We know that on a certain date, the offices will open, the visas will be issued, and so forth. Every tour operator from the United States, and I'm only mentioning United States because this is not the case with tour operators from other countries, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why, has spent almost half of the month of Ramadan and the first 2 weeks of Shawwal in Makkatul Mukarramah or in Jeddah, going to this office every day where they give the approvals for the visas. And there's individuals sitting there who will make them sit for a few hours and will tell them to come back tomorrow. And they go back the next day. Now if you've lived there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? And they go back tomorrow. And they go back tomorrow. And they go back tomorrow. Until sometime last week, certain tour operators were actually given approvals that now, yes, you may, you know, you will get an X amount of visas and so forth. Now obviously as we speak right now, there's thousands of individuals from the United States that are preparing to go for Hajj. People have sent in, like I mentioned, their passports and their visas, but the consulate hasn't opened yet. That is a fact. We are less than a month away from our date of travel, and the consulate in New York, the consulate in Washington DC, the consulate in Los Angeles have not yet opened up their visas for Hajj. So you could go there, a tour operator with 500 passports, and they'll say, come back tomorrow. In this case, if you went today, they would be closed. It's Friday, alhamdulillah. But if you went on Monday, they'd probably tell you to come back on Tuesday. And if you went on Tuesday, they'd tell you to come back on Wednesday. They won't give you a set date. Now keep in mind, there's a reason why I mention this. There is definitely, for people like us, frustration in this. Because we want our passports back. We're eager to go. We need to know whether we can go or not. We need to find out whether, you know, although our vacation is approved, we need to give them that final word. And there's a lot of things involved with this. Now we can only pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wish that they would do a better job so that our lives would become easy for us. But keeping all this in mind, Hajj is definitely not a vacation. Hajj should not be considered to be a vacation. Rather, Hajj is a trip in which we struggle. Right, there is spiritual struggle, there is physical struggle, and it is due to that struggle, it's due to all these different kinds of struggles that we come out at the end, and where the Prophet ﷺ promises us, كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. You come out in a state free of sin as if the day your mother gave you birth. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. That is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. So there's definitely going to be a lot of struggle. And as we see our situation, we should not compare our situation with other situations. Rather, we should just feel that this is part of my struggle. This is what I have to go through in order to attain this status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give that status to this individual who has performed Hajj. So there's this initial stage of, you know, yes, no, yes, no. And due to the fact that this year Hajj will be during the prime, you know, this winter break, there's so many individuals that are trying to go, that there's individuals calling almost on a daily basis to find out if they can go, and the fact is it's too late. Because most of the tour operators have you know, maxed out, they filled to their capacity, and they are not able to take anyone. And now obviously an individual makes that intention. It may take an individual maybe years or maybe months to make that intention. All of a sudden they become ready and then they make that phone call and then they find out that they're not able to go. That's a very sad situation. But a person should not be turned off or become sad by that situation. Because that is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a set time for us to be there, a set moment for us to be there, and when that moment and when that time is right, we will be there inshaAllah. When that moment and that time comes, we will definitely be there. There's no one stopping any individual when the invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. That should be the yaqeen and conviction in our hearts. That also doesn't mean that an individual just leaves it up in the air and says, you know, I'll go for Hajj when Allah wants me to go. No, rather we should plan. We should plan towards it. We should work towards it as well. In whatever form or manner it may be, whether it be, you know, spiritually, material, whatever it is that we need to acquire in order to go for Hajj, we should definitely work towards that. And if we have already performed the Hajj, we should strive to go again. Why not? Right? It's a feeling that an individual, when one experiences that feeling of being there, they just want to go again and again. Right? It's that experience. But at the same time, like I mentioned, if for some reason an individual or individuals are not able to go, that is the wisdom and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we've had individuals who got on the plane from here and flew all the way to Europe, and for some reason were not able to make it for Hajj. For whatever reason it was. And they had to come back in the state of ihram. And had to make sure that a dam was done there so that they can release their ihram here. That was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where our conviction and our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes strong. So whatever happens, we should leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. Now going back to those individuals who are planning to go for Hajj, or those individuals that are not going for Hajj. We all have our own obligations. Those individuals that are going for Hajj, we need to start making preparations to go for Hajj. And when we think of preparations, our preparations are money, sleeping bag, airline ticket. These are the only things we think of. Right? Make sure I have enough money. Make sure I've got a nice this. I've got this. These are the things that we think of. And we do not think of the spiritual preparations that we need to make. There are spiritual preparations for this trip. We are going to see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be in the divine presence. We'll be there at the Kaaba. We'll be visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to prepare ourselves, not only physically, but we have to prepare ourselves spiritually. We have to make sure that all the evil traits that are within us, we have to rid ourselves of these evil traits. Of all the animosity and hatred that we have in our heart towards others, we need to remove this before we go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we go and see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these, they don't look at our physical state. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the condition of our heart, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see us physically, but he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be able to recognize us spiritually. Right? When we see each other, we just see the physical features. You know, good looking, you know, light skin, dark skin, tall, short, black hair, white hair, red hair, glasses, no glasses, brown eyes, green eyes, white eyes, whatever it may be. That's all we can see about each other. We may get to know an individual, and we may get to know certain things about them. But that spiritual connection an individual has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one knows about it. No one knows. People cannot judge their own spouses. People cannot judge their own children and their parents. That spiritual connection and that spiritual bond that an individual has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very strong bond. And we need to prepare ourselves spiritually before we go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also doesn't mean that if an individual doesn't feel prepared spiritually that they should be delaying their Hajj. No, one should go in the anticipation that when I do make this trip, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cleanse me and purify me spiritually. So these are the directions that we need to be thinking in. There is and I won't mention any names, and most of you, if not all of you, know these individuals. There's a group of individuals, young individuals who, and this is for the sake of safeguarding their reward. There's a group of young individuals who are going from our masjid to Hajj, inshaAllah, this coming year. they started preparing last year. Right? They started preparing last year. They started thinking in this direction. Right? They started thinking of making sure how our travel, you know, obviously the travel arrangements and whatnot. But they started going to Hajj classes and Hajj workshops beginning last year. Usually we wait till the last year. If I'm not going for Hajj this year, why should I go to a Hajj workshop and waste 5 hours of my time? You know, I'll go when I have to go, otherwise I'll forget. That's the general thinking of any individual. Rather, these individuals attended workshops last year. They met every month. Every month they had a meeting and they would meet at someone's house. They attended another workshop in the summer. And recently they made a request and they said that we would like you to teach us the proper method of prayer. These are adults. They know how to pray, alhamdulillah. It's not like they don't know how to pray. These are individuals who pray 5 times a day. But they made that request just to make sure that if there is any void in our salat that we may be unaware of, so that we're able to take care of that, so that every prayer of ours, which is worth 50,000 and 100,000, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine. And these are professionals. These are professional individuals working for well-known firms within a few blocks of here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, you know, that feeling in their heart. They feel that this trip of mine is a very strong, very spiritual trip. It's going to bring a change into my life. It is something that I strive for. It is something that I strive for. So we should be thinking in this direction. We should definitely be thinking in this direction. We should, for those individuals who have not yet gone, we should be encouraging them. What's wrong? You know, what's really, in this day and age, an average Hajj costs about $5,000. What, you know, to an average individual, really, what is $5,000? Yes, it's a decent amount of money. I definitely agree with you. But $5,000 is really nothing. We spend that kind of money on our cars. We spend that kind of money on our payments, you know, our home payments, whether it be a rent or whatever, within a period of a month or 2 months. Right? It's really not a lot of money. It does not take us a long time. For the majority of us, to save $5,000, it does not take a very long time. Whereas, relatively speaking, there are individuals who live in different parts of the world who have to dedicate their entire lifetime savings to go for Hajj. They have to dedicate their entire savings to go for Hajj. And they go for Hajj in a state where they're physically not fit. And they're not even able to fulfill all the arkan correctly. But obviously, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them. But they're not able to. And still we wait. We wait for the year after, and the year after, and the year after. There should be no waiting. There should be no waiting at all. And for those individuals that are going, they should definitely be preparing themselves. For those individuals who haven't yet gone, are preparing to go in the next few years, they should also start preparing themselves. And at the same time, and this is what I mentioned year after year, and this is the most difficult one. This is for both individuals going and individuals staying. If we have had any problems, you know, or spoken to in evil terms, or do not speak to, for that matter, to a relative, to an individual that we may know, this is the time when we should knock on their doors, we should call them if they are living very far away, and ask them for forgiveness. Whether it is their fault. It's never our fault. I love saying this. It's never our fault. It's always the other individual. I didn't do anything wrong, they did it. You know, they should be calling me for forgiveness. No one will ever say it was my fault. And I'm pretty sure that everyone right now is thinking of someone in their minds that they haven't spoken to in a year or 2 years or a few years. And you're also thinking, but you know what? It is their fault. It's not my, that's what we're thinking, right? I won't ask you to raise your hands. But we're thinking along those lines. Keep in mind, when we go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to forgive every single one of our sins. From the time we were born, from the time we reached the age of puberty, everything that we have done wrong. Right? Just imagine, I mean, most of us who are going for Hajj have been for Hajj, or at this age where we're at, just imagine some of the, you know, larger things that we have done wrong, things that we have really regretted. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven them, but this is a definite guarantee that once you have completed your Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. Right? Just think along those lines. Now, once we think along those lines, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive all this, then why is it so difficult for us to call someone and tell them, you know, forgive me? Why is it so difficult? And usually it's the ego that comes in. Right? It's the ego. I can't do it. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever willed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could also very simply say, you know what, I don't want to forgive you. You've done something wrong, why should I be forgiving you? I'm just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, I'll do you justice on the day of judgment. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also very merciful. And so if we think along those lines of mercy, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful upon us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated to have said, إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Be merciful to those that live on the earth, and the one that lives in the skies will be merciful to you. Allah, in other words, Allah will be merciful to us. So this becomes our obligation. If we hear of or know of individuals that are going for Hajj, and they happen to be individuals that we know, acquaintances or friends, call them, meet them, request them to make dua for you. Request them to make dua for you. They are going to be at a place where every dua is accepted. They're going to be at times where every dua is accepted. And every single one of us has a need. And for those individuals that are going, make sure you have a little notebook. This is the least that you can do for your friends and family members. If they request you to make dua, and if they request you to make dua for something specific, write it down. This is the least. They're not asking you to bring back a gift. They're not asking you to give them some money. All they're asking is spend 3, 4, 5 seconds of your time while you're standing in front of the Kaaba on the day of Arafah. And when you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that so and so happens to me. Make dua that my child this. Make dua that my parent this. Make dua. That's all it takes. This is the least that we can do for these individuals. And this is something that we should all keep in mind. Right? It's very easy to say to someone, make dua for me. But we tend to forget. We tend to forget. So we should keep notes, especially when we're going to such great lands. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those of us who have already performed the Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. For those of us that are intending to go for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. For those of us that are planning to go this year, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make sure that all our arrangements and whatever it is that we need, may all those be complete, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to go there and come back safely in a state where we are able to perform the Hajj and our Hajj is accepted. And for those individuals who have not yet made the intentions for whatever reason or another, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your states easy for you, and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all for Hajj again and again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us halal rizq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our matters easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the tribulations from the ummah. And it's definitely a time where every day we hear something new. Just this morning I was browsing through BBC, and now Netherlands wants to pass a law against the niqab. Every day there's something new that we hear about, you know. It's just something that comes up and affects the entire ummah. You know, it affects the entire ummah, whether it happens in a different part of the world because of the world that we live in today. You know, the globalization. So it affects the entire ummah. All the tribulations that we go through, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove them from us. And all those individuals who have requested to make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill their needs. All those individuals who are sick, especially the young sister who is still in the hospital recovering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her and everyone shifa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all of our needs. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Bi rahmatika ya Arhamar Rahimeen.